Andrew, the quarterback position seems very important in the NFL. Is it all going to be Teddy Bridgewater this year, or is Drew Locke get a little bit of action as well?
Well, I mean, so far they've been splitting the reps 50-50, and Vic Fangio, the coach, has said that they're pretty close to a decision, but they need more information, and perhaps some of that more information is going to come tomorrow night when the Broncos play the Seahawks. Of course, Teddy Bridgewater is starting this game. Drew Locke started last week in Minnesota. Here's the thing. Minnesota did not play their starters in that preseason game. Locke did well. Then Teddy Bridgewater, going against mainly the same guys, the same backups on the Vikings, he also did well. But a couple of days earlier when they had joint practices with the Vikings and they went against the Vikings first teamers, both of them struggled. If they're tied, you'd think they'd give the nod to Drew Locke just because he's younger, has more potential, et cetera. But frankly, I think we'll probably end up seeing both of them over the course of the season.
So, Andrew, one preseason game down, training camp a couple weeks in now. Has anyone stood out in your opinion?
Well, I mean, you start the big name you start with is Von Miller on the defensive side. He missed all last year. He looks all the way back on the pass rush. So does Bradley Chubb. He played last year, 7.5 sacks. He's looking good. The defense as a whole looks pretty damn good at all three levels. They've got a solid defensive line. Draymond Jones is a guy that maybe not a lot of people know about, but he had 6 sacks last year as a defensive end and interior pass rusher. He's had terrific camp. He may have been the best defensive player on the field at those joint practices in Minnesota, so keep your eye on him. And then the secondary, they signed Kyle Fuller in free agency. They drafted Pat Surtain, the second out of Alabama. Justin Simmons, they re-signed him. Kareem Jackson's a good safety. They are pretty stacked on the defensive side. And then on the offensive side, the guy who's really turned heads is their first-round pick from 2020, Jerry Jeudy, who had some flashes last year but also had some issues with drops. He seems to have curbed that problem. He's become a much more consistent receiver, terrific route runner, and he's probably been the best player on the offensive side so far and could end up being the top wide receiver for the team this year. In fact, I'd say probably likely to be the top number one receiver in Denver.
As far as running backs, will it be the rookie Javonte Williams that'll be getting most of the touches?
Maybe later on in the season. Now, Melvin Gordon, he has been the number one running back throughout camp, although he's been dealing with a groin injury. And last week, Javonte Williams, in that preseason game, again, against the Viking backups, showed some flashes. But right now, they just seem to feel a little bit more secure with Melvin Gordon. I could see a scenario, though, where Gordon is the number one running back early, but over the course of the season, Javonte Williams nudges him out. So, like, think of it from a fantasy football perspective, it might be a scenario where you want to draft both of those guys because they're going to get touches. They're going to get touches, but it could be more Melvin Gordon early, Javonte Williams into November and December.
We're discussing the Denver Broncos with Andrew Mason today on the Jason Greger Show. I want to go a little bit more into Jerry Jeudy, and to be totally honest with you, I'm an LA Chargers fan, and last year, Jerry Jeudy probably could have had like 15 receptions in that game. He was absolutely carving the defense. You talked about the drops. Is that something he seemed to have fixed in the offseason? Because I don't remember that being really an issue with him at Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty much average in terms of drop rate at Alabama, so it wasn't something you concerned yourself with. You know, sometimes it's, okay, your concentration is off a little bit. You're thinking about the defender coming in, and the defender's coming in at a higher speed than when you're in the college range. Just a lot of things came into play. And also, quite frankly, the timing with him and Drew Locke last year really wasn't there, and it seemed like they weren't on the same page. You know, it was the case often, not just in that Charger game, where Jerry Jeudy was getting wide open, getting separation. Now, they consciously tried to throw him the ball more in that game, and even when he kept dropping it, I think they were trying to kind of, okay, get him back into it. Okay, let's get him back on the horse, so to speak. And then the drops just kept piling up. But then the next week, he had a 92-yard touchdown from Drew Locke. So there, the flashes were there, and if he had had a normal drop rate last year, he probably would have been right there with Justin Jefferson in Minnesota, the two best rookie receivers in football in 2020. If he can cut that, and every sign is that he has, he's going to be a legit player. But, yeah, you saw it in that Charger game, like you mentioned, and just hang on to two more of those passes that he dropped in that game, then the Broncos win that game, not L.A.
talking Broncos football with Andrew Mason from Mile High Sports down there in Denver. You know, are they going to have enough strength on the offensive line, starting with their left tackle Garrett Bowles, to keep the quarterbacks given some time to get the ball out of their hands?
It's a good question. Now, they've been challenged going up against that pass rush every day in training camp. And so how, when the pocket has been breaking down, how much of that is that a function of just the quality they're going against every day, and how much of it are struggles on the offensive line? Now, Garrett Bowles was a second-team All-Pro at left tackle last year. He had the best season of his career, and then he got a big contract as a result. But the interesting thing with Garrett Bowles is this. Before last year, he had a problem with holding penalties. He was leading; he led the league in holding penalties in 2019, and he tended to have more holding penalties at home than on the road. And in part, seemed like whenever he got a holding penalty, the reaction among fans kind of was so negative that it seemed like with Bowles, one mistake became two, became three so often. So he has his best season by far last year. He does it in a year where there are no fans in the stands, and I think that it's something to keep your eye on to see how is he going to be now that it's back to normal with people there. And yeah, if he has a holding penalty and makes a mistake, how does he react to that? Because he didn't really have that ability in his first 3 years to compartmentalize, to have that goldfish memory, 10 seconds, and you forget it. Still, he's the alpha on the offensive line, and then The rest of the line is interesting because Lloyd Cushenberry was a rookie last year at center. He looks to be more stable this year than last year. You should probably never have a young center and a young quarterback at the same time. That led to a lot of problems in terms of pre-snap checks and all that. So Cushenberry looks better. Guard is interesting. Dalton Risner and Graham Glasgow are pretty two established guards there on the interior, but they're both being pushed by a couple of recent draft picks, Netani Muti and Quinn Miners, a third-round pick this year. And then they have a competition at right tackle. Bobby Massey came over from Chicago, is competing with Calvin Anderson, who was a backup tackle for this team last year. And and Anderson's going to start tomorrow night, and Bobby Massey started at right tackle last week in the preseason opener. So Bowles, he's the best guy, but there are still some questions about him. So this is a unit that could be very good, or it could be problematic.
Andrew, we have a question from one of our listeners, Bronco Nick, a big Broncos fan, chimes in a lot to our show, chirps me especially with that little rivalry we have. But he asks, is there any projected starters expected to miss week one?
Right now, no. And Melvin Gordon, he's been dealing with a little groin problem, but he may even play tomorrow night. Josie Jewell, inside linebacker, he was dealing with a groin issue. He is expected to play tomorrow night. He's practiced all this week. Right now, this is a pretty healthy team, knock on wood, that they can get through the rest of the preseason that way, because last year, one of the things that sunk this team was injuries, and these injuries set in pretty early. Von Miller was lost for the season in the week before the season opener. A.J. Boye, who they were counting on to be one of their top cornerback last year, he gets hurt in the season opener, and Cortland Sutton goes down in week two. Drew Lock gets hurt in week two. So they've come through so far okay. And if the season opener were tomorrow, I think they would pretty much be at full strength, only a couple of minor injuries here and there. And so they hope they can stay that way for the next few weeks, because if they can, that gives them a leg up that they didn't have last year.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. We appreciate the insight, and look forward to this season getting started after the last preseason game, or maybe two more. So thanks a lot.
No problem. You guys take care.